Welcome to Your Expansive Self Podcast. I'm your host, Tasha Credle. I'm a self-healing and leadership coach, breathwork and meditation teacher, truth finder, activator, and a passionate student of life. I fully believe that everything is interconnected in our world and that it's time that we talk about the deeper truths of it. My goal is to share with you all that I know within the energetics of self-healing, health and wealth, spirituality, sexual energy, conscious business and leadership, basically all the things that I'm obsessed with. I am fully committed to helping you remember that you can lead, embody, create, and live from a place of wholeness, love, empowered sovereignty, and personal freedom. We have conversation with heart leaders, solo episodes, no BS, no filters, sharing from my heart to yours with integrity, love, and wisdom. Thank you so much for pressing play today. I'm so honored and excited to have you here with me. So let's get started. Hello, beautiful, whole human beings. If it's your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. My name is Tasha. If you are a recurring listener, welcome back. I love you. I love all of you, obviously. I am really... Honestly, I just finished this conversation, so I'm still flying on the energy. I'm like, I can't wait to like record the intro for this. Like, this needs to be out like now. It needs to be done now. Why wait? Why wait? Today on the podcast, I received Chris Bale, this teacher, this mentor, this guide, this powerful man into the world. The way that he shows up, the way that he teaches, the way he holds himself, the way he speaks, the way he chooses to be in himself unapologetically is insanely refreshing. And the way that the conversation just unfolded was so beautiful. It was very, you know, I never planned anything. There was no specific questions. I had been listening to his work for quite some time now, so I was pretty clear on, you know, just the energy of where we were going. And it was just awesome. Just, it was for men, it was for women, it was for couples, it was for just how we show up as humans in the world. Like, we dove into a bunch of different aspects of this work. And, you know, he teaches a lot about sexuality and intimacy and energy and consciousness, which I think is like the most exciting part to me about all of this, is that it's a little less about the woo and a little bit more about the human. And if you've been listening to my couple past podcasts recently, the last couple months, it's really been a huge part of my journey, is like unplugging from any spiritual kind of distorted, bypassy programming and reconnecting into myself, into the most human aspect I possibly can with what I know at the moment. And it feels really refreshing and really beautiful and really loving. And yeah, there's just so much. I just feel so like lit up and juiced up, and just all the playfulness too in the conversation. There's a lot of playfulness. There's a couple of times the Wi-Fi was a little distorted. He's in Europe, I'm in Canada. But you know what? That was another part of the humanness, and it is what it is. So I really, really hope you guys receive this as well as I have and as deeply as I have. And please share with friends and partners and girlfriends and boyfriends and all the things and all the people, I should say. And you guys are not things. You guys are humans. You guys are beautiful humans. And, you know, share your golden nuggets on social media. Tag Chris, tag me, and connect with us deeper there. And yeah, just thank you for being part of this exchange, because it is a powerful one. So enjoy the episode, and I will see you guys after. Welcome, Mr. Chris Bale.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. As I was just sharing with you prior to the recording, you're one of the few teachers right now that I feel very resonant with, that I deeply honor and respect, especially in a world where there's a lot of, how do you call it? Just a lot of talk about a lot of different things, and it can get really confusing for people, I think. So I think having a conversation to speak a little bit more about what, I mean, what feels resonant to me anyways, and what I know a lot of people feel resonant with as well with your work. Yeah. I'm just really excited for the whole conversation. So thank you for being here.
Of course. It's my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to being able to share some helpful things with your audience.
Yeah. So one thing I love about what you've been sharing in terms of your work and your background is like, it's you have a background of TCM and acupuncture, I think. Tell us a little bit more about like what brought you to what you're doing, the work today, and why.
Right. So it's a little interesting in that way, because I find myself now working a lot, or at least being seen a lot, to work with sexuality and with intimacy and these types of things. But as you said, I initially started my work as a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner. So my only official kind of study that I've done has been that. And at the same time, I was also kind of doing my own work just internally, trying to figure out what the hell does it mean to be here in a male body, and what does that look like, and maybe what's dysfunctional about that, where are the wounds living, how confusion, how conditioning is impacting that for us. So on the other side, I was going quite deeply into my own process, and around about the same time, I started to see a very clear discomfort or confusion, you could say, around my own sexuality and my expression of it, and my complete discomfort with it, and how it naturally wanted to move in my body, which had me take on a whole array of strange and manipulative behaviors in order to be accepted and seen as a good guy or a nice guy or whatever that means. So it was really just looking at a lot of that convolution. At the same time, on the opposite end of that, I was assisting people in clinic with acupuncture just for their general health concerns. And I started to see that this blockage that I carried was not just something I was carrying. And it was something that...
Oh, no, I'm frozen, or you're frozen.
Yeah, you're frozen on my side as well.
Well, shit happens.
It happens. But I think I remember where I was, which is a rarity. So I can just keep going if it suits the flow.
Great. Amazing. So let's keep going then.
All right. So as I started to work with people with acupuncture on the other side of my kind of individual personal work, mm-hmm. I started to see that they were carrying a lot of the same blockages and the same fears and the same places of discomfort that I was previously carrying. So I would start to experiment energetically with them, mm-hmm. with their permission, of course. And I got to a point where, even though people were coming for acupuncture, I had stopped using the needles, because I realized mm-hmm. that I actually need the needles, that the needles, they weren't really doing what needed to be done energetically. So that allowed me to start experimenting and tapping in a lot deeper to just the energetics, and really understanding through experience, one-on-one experience with thousands of bodies, how energy actually flows in our system versus how all the books and how all the teachers tell you that it's supposed to flow. Energy is very simple, is what I discovered. And it doesn't really require the complication that it is communicated to require. What it requires is for the person who's engaging with it to be very aware, sensitive, conscious, and also to be open in themselves. And it started to get to a point where, as I would be treating people, they would start going into orgasm, or they'd start shaking, and all this energetic stuff would start to happen. And I started to realize, wait, that's because of how I've settled myself in the room. And it's actually polarity. It's the yin and the yang of this entire situation that is opening all of this or making this possible. Mm-hmm. So I have to tell, you know, that type of a story almost on every interview I do, but it always comes out slightly different.
great.
I'm hearing it as I'm sharing it, and that's a new angle of it.
Mm-hmm.
But how I got into working with sexuality was in no way intentional. It mm-hmm. kind of found me through my own process.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And what comes up for me as you're saying that it all comes back down to polarity and how you operate when you're working with someone. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you work mostly with women, or both women and men, like on the physical body.
So with the energy work, the you mm-hmm. know, with the energy work where the person is laying down, and it's just an energy session, that is mainly with women that I work with.
Right.
And for mm-hmm. men, I do mentoring with men, just because we need something a little bit different in order to be able to come home. And I realized mm-hmm. at the beginning, I was trying to work with everyone the same. And of course, we're not the same. We're quite different. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. right now, you know, that striving for neutrality in the world is causing a lot of dysfunction. We're mm-hmm. supposed to be different, clearly different. And that's what keeps the energy moving. That's what keeps life and charge present on the planet. Neutrality, mm-hmm. right? Neutrality energetically is death.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I work with men and women and couples, but it's generally split in that way.
Mm-hmm. So if you're working with a woman in the physical, I guess it would require for you in terms of that polarity to be very anchored into your own masculine for her to be in her own feminine, in order for her to experience what she wants to experience or needs to experience in order to open up.
Yes. Yeah. Because beautiful. She needs to feel safe, right? She,
mm-hmm.
she needs to feel like, okay, this person is present enough and attentive enough where he's actually being able to see me. And mm-hmm. the work is mainly how I assist women, because I'm not a woman, you know, I can't tell a woman how she's supposed to function. That's not my role.
Right.
My role mm-hmm. is to be there, to be as present and as loving and as clean from a place of integrity as possible, because so much of the pain and trauma that women are holding has been actually done onto them by men. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I have to keep that space as clean as possible. But I'm not really doing the work. The energy is just coming through. I'm just creating an opportunity for the energy to come through my mm-hmm. attentiveness and through my care and through my love.
Mm. One thing I love about you is the clarity that you have around what it looks like to really be an embodied man and to be anchored in your own sovereignty and in like being cock embodied, as you call it, and leading yourself powerfully while creating safety also, not only for us, but, you know, for everyone too. And it really starts with, I mean, the both of us individually. And yes. How would you describe, I think there's a lot of distortion as to what it means for a man to embody his cock and his body and his himself. What does that look like? What does that even mean? I think some people are still a little confused as to what that can look like.
Yes. From my direct experience, is the man has to first, in order to be able to embody himself in that way, in a clean and powerful way, because generally what happens is we can either not be clean or we cannot be powerful. But mm-hmm. to be powerful and clean is the goal, I feel, energetically. But for him to do that, he has to first see all the ways that he has been lied to. He has to see all the ways that he is terrified of his own truth, of his own expression, of being able to stand up for who he is and being able to communicate, this is what I'm here to do, and I make no apology for it.
Mm.
He's not forcing anyone to do things the way he does things. He's just choosing his way first. And then he's supporting community to choose their way, right? So as an example, I'm not here to have men be like me, the men I work with.
Right.
I'm here to have him be him as deeply as he can come to be and know himself, because that's what we need. So to be cock embodied is to not be afraid of yourself. It's to heal the wound and the trauma around the fact that male power is bad. Because male power is fucking beautiful. We're supposed to be dangerous, right? That's how we're here to protect community. That's why we're here to protect consciousness. But now everyone's gone out to lunch and then we see what happens, right? Because men are just caught up on their phones and distracted and moving around like hummingbirds, right? Just totally not where we really ought to be. And I feel that's all intentional, right? There's no mistakes that are generally being made. It's for a reason. But to be cock embodied is really just for the man to be who he's come here to be. So he needs to do his spiritual work. He needs to do his sadhana. He needs to step out of everything he finds himself in order to start to locate himself without the conditioning, without the rules, without the government, without the system. So he can start to go to the beat of his own drum and follow the direction that his creator has put in him. Because men will come and say things like, Chris, I want women to surrender to me. Why won't women surrender to me? And my question to him is, what the fuck have you surrendered to? That would leave her trust surrendering to you, because most men, they're surrendering to addictions or social media or ego validation. So why should she surrender to that? So once a man can understand his way of surrendering to his creator, to his intelligence, or to God, or to source, whatever word the person wants to use, now he moves through life as a conduit for spirit. That is what we're here for. And if a woman doesn't feel that in a man, I have no desire to attempt to convince her or give her tools or techniques to bypass her protection mechanism. She's not supposed to surrender to every man, right? But she should absolutely be doing her work to be able to surrender to herself first. So I don't know if I answered your question, but
absolutely 100% and more. I've obviously listened to a ton of your podcasts, so I witnessed the flows that you get in, and I'm like, oh, so juicy. Like your words and your energy is like so penetrating. I've had so many of my friends, I've like sent your podcast to a bunch of people like so many times. Every single time they're like, man, his energy is so penetrative. I'm like, this is the work, man. Like, this is why we're here. It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So the main thing that's coming up for me right now is because one thing that I love is just talking about the stuff that maybe people don't really talk about. So a thing that I've been witnessing a lot in people who do the inner work or are trying to support themselves into clearing their trauma to be more of what you speak of, it seems like there's a slight distortion of maybe they're telling themselves they're doing the work. They are actively listening to the podcast. They're reading the books. They're going to retreats or whatever, but and they get caught up in the idea of doing the work and being the work, and they get lost in that, which I, from what I've seen, is like, it's pulling them away even not more, but just in a different direction of their themselves and their humanness. And I see a lot of it, and I'm not really one to kind of tell people right off the bat what I see, but I find myself confused sometimes as to how I can support them to maybe see like what's happening or get them to realize the confusion of their own unfolding, even though it's perfect and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, there's a slight disconnection. So I don't know if you have seen that, or what would you say about that?
Well, I have absolutely seen what you've spoken to. It's almost like an addiction to detoxing, right? It's an addiction to releasing. It's an addiction to self-development. And people end up getting so beat up and so exhausted and so pulled away from themselves in that process.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can try to skirt around that. But I believe if we're putting ourselves in the position of being a guide and a teacher or an illuminator for anybody, then we owe it to them to always say what we see and to not kind of beat around the bush. So if someone said, hey, Chris, I'm having difficulty always being clear and direct with people when I see these things, my question to them would be, where in yourself are you uncomfortable with being seen, right? Where are you uncomfortable in yourself with possibly being called out on that? Because I used to have a lot of shame mm-hmm. and a lot of embarrassment and a lot of guilt around my own process and just my own life very early on. And what I realized is once I exposed myself to myself, once I really saw all the ways I was tricking myself and lying to myself and coddling myself, and not in a supportive way, but in a blinding way, then I started to see how I was also supporting that in other people. But when you yourself are not uncomfortable with truth or with authenticity, then you'll have no issue calling that out in people around you, because my way of loving someone and respecting them is to be real with them and is to say, hey, are you open to me sharing a reflection? Are you open to me sharing something that I see that may be useful for you? As long as I'm given consent, I'm sharing what I feel is going to be supportive for that person. I will never give that type of feedback to anybody who doesn't ask me for it. But if someone's paying me, right, if someone's a student or someone's coming for a session, you set yourself up for that. So that's the thing. If someone comes to me, my job and the way I empower you and support you and love you and respect you is by sharing with you everything that I see and everything that I feel, so that you can have maybe a clearer viewpoint of what's actually going on.
Beautiful. And I think it's also like definitely not like, I can't picture you feeling responsible for other people's realities either. So it's just like telling them the truth without, you know, wanting to change their lives or like having them to be out of victimhood or pushing and forcing as though where they're at right here, right now is not okay. It's just like, I'm seeing like a detached way of bringing more truth because that's how you operate with yourself. And so it's easy to be like that with others.
Yes. But also being as compassionate as possible, because that's the integration, right? Because if it's just arrows, then it's very difficult to receive. So a lot of my work over the last 5 years or so has been, okay, I've got all this energy present with me and it's firm and it can be fierce and it can be direct, but how can I help people to be able to actually receive it and hear me? And compassion has been a huge part of that. I've had to really learn to connect more and more to my heart as a man, without disempowering myself, of course, without weakening myself. And that's been a really beautiful journey. That's been a very humbling journey. And working with women is definitely a support to that. Because you guys, you know, you guys are gigantic mirrors in many ways.
Yep. That can scare a lot of people sometimes, I'm sure. So what does a heart embodied woman look like? How does she hold herself and how does she operate in the world?
It's a big question. Listen,
Chris, I'm being fierce. Okay.
Let's go for it. So how does she look? Well, first of all, she's going to be fearless in love. That's a quality that repeats itself, that I notice and that I experience with women who are really in their body and they're really connected to their intuition and with their sensuality, because it's the sensuality that keeps her restored. It keeps the water percolating through her so she doesn't feel like she's being left all the time by life or by men, because she has that connection with her own being. So that woman's going to be really mature, and she's not going to be afraid to go first in love, right? You also can't hold her down anywhere. You can't tell her what to do with her body. You can't tell her what to do with her heart. And the standard that she requires from the men that she's around for intimacy is going to be really, really high. So if a man usually shows up 70% present with the majority of the women he meets, she'll require 110% at all times, or she won't feel safe enough to gift and share the amount of love that she's aching to be able to share, the devotion that she wants to bring forward. She'll also have a lot of compassion for men who are clueless, right? Men who are not, you could say, embodied, or men that are just totally confused and haven't went through their process yet. A trend that I see, and I understand it, because women have been victimized and abused and mishandled by different forms of male energy over the years, over the decades, over the centuries. But what I see with women who have really done their work is they love men. And it's so rare in this day and age to come across a woman who truly adores men and is willing to drop her emotional entitlement for a moment. Because that's the thing that I see with women, right? We both have our different things. Men come to me to be better. How can I be better for my wife, for my girlfriend, for my children, for my life, just for myself? Women generally never come to me to be better at anything. She doesn't feel like she has to be better at anything, right? She comes to heal a lot of the trauma, the wounds that have been caused by men. But there's, in many instances, the blind spot where she feels that, you know, where's the conscious man that I'm looking for? Where's the powerful man that I deserve? And a part of me being loving and honest with her is saying, you know, you have this checklist of all these powerful qualities that the man will bring a huge amount of value to your life when you meet this type of man. What are you bringing? Because right now that man probably won't see you based on how you feel about men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's this, and I get it. It's a very challenging narrative to be in, right? And it can be very confronting, and it can be very difficult for a woman to be in as she works through that process, where she has all the rage and all the hurt that she's had to kind of carry with her. Mm-hmm. And also there's a man saying, well, you should love men, right?
Right.
Fuck you, fuck men, right?
Yeah,
men
have caused,
right. And I get that, right? I she really has to have that space to be able to be seen, felt, and heard in all of the pain that she carries around the masculine. And that is a huge part of my positioning when I work with women, is we're going to go into this room and you're going to start to feel. And when the energy comes up, you just toss it at me. And that's the agreement, right? That's the safety that we come up against, because that needs to happen. That absolutely needs to happen before she can come to settle in herself in the company of men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's beyond, it's like you can't even put into logic what's really happening, which for us as women, it can feel really scary because we've been taught our safeties in our minds and our intelligence. And here we are being invited into feeling all these emotions that can scare the crap out of us, because it's like, now it's like all my walls come down. I can't hold this armor up anymore. And that's what's like causing the fatigue and the sickness and the just constant, just like the sluggish energy of continuous dead energy. And it's really scary for people to let that down. And I've witnessed that within my own journey too. I didn't even realize how much pain I had of like this sense of betrayal, whether it was like beyond just dad or, you know, boyfriends or whatever. It's like the system, like the masculine energetic of the collective almost, that like made me feel so I just felt like we were left, like as women, we were just left in the corner. And it was like, you know, you're not allowed to tap into those gifts, that heart, that portal that you have inside of you. Just keep operating the way that we're telling you to. And like, even that small, and maybe it's not so small, but that is a type of trauma that we hold in our bodies and like in our guts almost. And it's so heavy. And then people are wondering why, like they have all these issues, autoimmune disease and hormone problems. And those are like all the energetics. And that's what I try my best to kind of tell people, you know, it's like beyond, like people can't figure out what's wrong with you. It's because it's stuff that you can't go to the regular doctor and ask, like, can you tell me what's up? Cause like, oh, you're going to give me pills. I need to do. And I think that's another process to get caught up in. It's like still in that control, that fear, finding out, this is a thing I see all the time. Women still looking for that constant evidence that something's wrong with them, that they're broken. And they just keep looking, keep looking, keep looking. And they'll keep finding it, unfortunately.
What she really needs to do is to give up. That's my invitation to everybody on their spiritual development. It's, you're free when you give up, because you don't need to look for your trauma. Everyone, you know, wants techniques to try to find their trauma, and you just need to sit the fuck down for a moment, slow down. Your trauma will find your ass. I promise you, it will find you. You just need to stop running and distracting yourself. Yes. And it just so happens that being in the body and feeling intimacy, sexual connection, all of these things bring up feeling and energy and trauma quicker than anything else. So if people just simplified their getting to know themselves process the same way that they would simplify getting to know another human that they meet, right? Well, you just kind of go for a coffee with this person, or you go get a tea, or you just spend a lot of time sitting with this person. You can even be in silence, or you can just jump up and down and dance together. It really doesn't matter, but can you have present quality time where you're not pointing out all the things that's broken in them, all the things that need to be fixed, but instead you're just allowing life move through you in its own way. I think that's the most powerful way that we can approach ourselves, because otherwise we just get locked in our heads, and then people think they're embodied, which is the most dangerous part of all of this. Yeah.
What would it look like for, like, if someone's caught up in their own loops of thinking that they're embodied? What does that look like, so that maybe if they're listening to this, they can have pointers of identifying themselves in that?
Well, if you're never experiencing being done for a moment, right? If you're always finding yourself chasing and looking for the next answer, looking for the next solution, if you are thinking you're embodied, but you haven't felt a really deep, blissful rest in your nervous system yet, that means you're probably not in that place, or maybe you haven't experienced that level of letting go with yourself. And just to clarify, I'm not saying that to have people go, oh shit, I haven't got there yet, and now I'm doing it wrong, and because, you know, that can loop a person again. That's not why I'm saying that. And I feel like even answering that question, I don't really want to go much further with it, because I don't want to have people feel shame or embarrassment around where they happen to be. What I'd love for people to understand is where you are is totally fine. You can sit down now, right? You can just stop. And it's through stopping, it's through being able to take a few deep breaths and to be compassionate with yourself, that's when everything will start coming up for you. But, you know, all the ceremonies and plant medicines and just all of that stuff that has become so trendy, sure, it helps some people, and it's great that it's opening people's awareness and minds to different types of practices. But when we approach self-care from a dysfunctional foundation, which is how we've been approaching everything else before that, the self-care is now going to be dysfunctional. So we actually need to understand at our foundation how we're relating with our life on a moment-to-moment basis, how we're relating with just our own thought processes, right? How we walk. Why are you walking so fast? Right? They're just the simplest questions can allow you to pause for a moment, to feel your beautiful body, and to just settle where you're at. And oftentimes when I share these things, maybe it can sound too simplistic, or someone says, well, Chris, that's too simple. Like, give me something more. And my answer is no, because the more is what's keeping you complicated. Mm-hmm. It's the simple that will set you free, because life is simple. Energetics are simple. You are simple. The reason someone feels so little meaning and they feel so disconnected and they feel so lost is because they have complicated themselves. And they're feeling the complication eroding inside of them. Yeah, so the simple is always going to hold us the most accountable.
I remember you talking a lot about accountability in one of the conversations I heard you have, and how important it is not only, like, I'm pretty sure you spoke about how important it is for men to have solid accountability. I think for humans in general, it's good to keep each other accountable so that we can come back to not only our simplicity, but like the most human form of ourselves. And that's another, I feel like another initiation in itself, because I feel like a lot of people may find themselves in this work at this point. Once they've kind of like tapped into all of the complications of the spiritual communities and industry or whatever you want to call it, where it's like nonstop. And then they come back to like, you know what, I'm just gonna try to be a human today and just see how that goes. But keeping each other accountable, how can we support each other more as like men and women to keep each other accountable, again, without complicating things and I guess putting each other down, or like really supporting each other in a way that feels loving and compassionate?
First, you have to have all of those things for yourself. So we have to be doing all of those things that you mentioned first with and for ourselves. Then we don't even need to do it for another person, because it just happens through osmosis, because that's how we relate with the life. Once we show up as individuals and start to make those qualities a priority, anyone who's around us will be penetrated or will be drenched in that energy. And then they can choose to stick around that energy and soak it in and start to put it into practice themselves. Or they can choose to run for the hills because it's so uncomfortable. But that's up to them and where they're at in their process. But always being as kind as you can be. I mean, again, this isn't rocket science.
So simple.
This is just don't be a shitty person, right? Just be kind. Be kind, right? Just be as kind as you can be, as long as you're resourced. I always say to people that when you're no longer resourced, be kind to yourself and stay kind to yourself until you're resourced and overflowing again. And then you can once again be in service to other people. But right now we have far too many people who are running on energetic fumes, who are exhausted, who are not taking care of themselves, putting themselves out there trying to look after other people. And that is not going to be so beneficial.
Please excuse the Wi-Fi cutout. Let's get right back into it. As you were saying, you're witnessing a lot of people running on energetic fumes.
And the people who are running on energetic fumes, I see these people putting themselves in the position of attempting to serve and guide and nourish other people. And this is dangerous. This is not safe for either person involved. So the way that we can serve others and serve community and serve the planet deeper than anything else is to be an absolute example of what it means to treat yourself beautifully, to love, to care for yourself, to look after yourself, to listen to your own nature and to move in alignment with that. That's got to be the first. It's got to be the mm-hmm. first thing. Then we are so valuable because we're immensely resourced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I can't remember the question, but that
honestly, I don't either. It's fine. But go ahead.
Well, the other thing that I wanted to share as well, with all, you know, the spiritual talk of everything, mm-hmm. it's really important that people can remember to play and to mm-hmm. not take all of this stuff so seriously, to not take themselves so seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very aware that I come across quite serious in the work that I do, because there's such tiny snippets of who I am as an individual. And that's really just me in service mode. That's me in transmission mode. That's not even so much of me. But in mm-hmm. my normal life, I'm generally playful, right? Like I'm mm-hmm. I'm as light as I can possibly be. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that people don't just see spirituality as being super serious and structured to the point of strangulation, right? Where they're like, oh, I'm only allowed to have half of a carrot today because I'm on this spiritual process. It's like, no, I want to see you sit down and eat an entire cheesecake. And then I want to see how you transmute that, right? Because mm-hmm. that's just
spiritual
work. Like, spiritual work should not be about disappearing as a human. Spiritual work should be, how can I create this immense power in myself where I get to have the fullest, most exciting, most beautiful, most indulgent experience as a human, right? Because the human mm-hmm. experience is beautiful. There's so much here for us. So please stay deeply human. That would be my invitation to people. And don't let all of this stuff catch you up so much. Be in the body. Mm-hmm. That's got to be the main work, because we need this, right, to be human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely been, for myself and just people I witness in general, how much it can feel uncomfortable to start getting back in that playfulness. And like, mm-hmm. and I try to bring as much of that as I can, like even on my conversations or like my teachings, like I never start, I've always been a goof, you know, like I'm always like, I've just always been like that. And until I started kind of being in other people's containers and programs and teachings, I was like, my God, like, I feel like this industry is already so serious. Like, why are we so serious about it? And I actually felt my heart close because of how much how serious it was. I was like, I love this because I love this. I don't want to feel like I have to do the work or I'll get punished if I don't do my practices. I had gone into this like loop of almost like feeling forced to do all my practices every morning in a way that was like not loving, like, I have to do this because if I don't, I won't receive XYZ. That was a really deep invitation to look at, where do I still think I'm going to get punished by God or like source? And how does that show up with my own relationship with the masculine? And it's been such an epic unfolding, and I'm so glad I was able to feel into that and to witness that within myself. But I think it is a great invitation for a lot of people who get caught up in their own, I don't know, spirituality, self-help, healing loops of constantly trying to fix and like bringing back into the wholeness of being human, like you say all the time, which I love. And so thank you for like talking about that so openly and lovingly.
Mm. Of course, it's important for me to hear myself say it out loud, because I'm more and more getting reflections from people when they meet me in person saying, mm-hmm. oh, wow, I had no idea you would be so playful, because you're so serious and direct in your work. So I'm attempting to speak that out a little bit more, because I would mm-hmm. never want anyone to see that limited or that tiny sliver of who I am and what's shared mm-hmm. and then attempt to model themselves off of that, because that mm-hmm. isn't the whole truth. Yeah, that's not mm-hmm. Being integrated. That's not being balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a lot of that.
Yeah, 100%.
A lot of that.
Yeah, and you're a lot of all the things, like just how we all are. Like we're human. Yeah. We're all the things in one thing and nothing all at once, you know, just mm-hmm. how it is. But I think, you know, the way that you show up as a teacher too is incredible. And the way that like, I can really feel how there's no space to put you on a pedestal, which I think is a game changer. From my experience, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody else, but for my experience, it's like, I can be in deep respect of your work and who you are and what you've done without putting you on a pedestal and without, because that's like some type of, again, separation of he knows more or I know less or, and I think, there's another invitation in that and just how much can we really recognize that there is nothing that is bigger than me and how much can I feel into my bigness without putting people and things on a pedestal all the time. And yeah, I think, I don't know what you see when, again, like in this field and in this work, when it comes to having things and people on a pedestal, but I think it takes away from the playfulness and like the actual, like actually deep work, like funny enough, because it's like play, but it's like work.
Totally. And I love that reflection, because if someone pedestals me or pedestals anyone, but in this situation, if someone pedestals me, it makes my work more difficult in order to reach them and to assist them, because now there's a massive gap, as you said. My work really is about showing off how ordinary I am, right? Like the deepest message of my work is I am so deeply ordinary. And my work and my continued work every day is to become more and more aware of how ordinary I am, my experience is, and how being grounded in the ordinary is actually when we can become extraordinary. It's this weird paradox where everyone out there is trying to look the best and the coolest and the most powerful, and everyone wants to be extraordinary. And they're becoming exhausted. And it just so happens to be, at least in my experience directly, that when we drop back down into being deeply simple and ordinary and as human as we can come to be, that's when the power starts to open. But it's a power that is never going to be you. It's a power that has chosen to move through you. And every moment that it chooses to be here with me, I am so deeply grateful. Mm-hmm. That I get to experience that because I had ego when I first realized that, oh, wow, you know, a number of years ago, I'm like, damn, look what I can do, right? Even just energetic. But as soon as I would have that feeling and I kind of start pumping my chest up thinking I was all that, then the energy would stop and it would cut off. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. As I moved through my immature masculine, what was really shown to me is that a lot of the really powerful connections in life has a child lock on it. And whenever my child or my little boy or my ego would come up and identify as, oh, I'm the one who done that, then the energy would disappear. So I realized that the more I can get out of the way and just allow whatever wants to happen in the room happen, I don't even need to understand how it happens. And the less I know, the better. That is what has allowed me to kind of relax into myself and to stop pedestaling myself, right? Because that's the other thing people do when they start to get evolved or evolved in their own experience. They're like, oh, I'm doing so good at this and I'm so great at that. And these people aren't evolved enough and they need to do their work. It's I mean, yeah, you're pointing one finger at them, but there's three fingers pointing back at you in that gesture. So that was one of the most illuminating things for me, realizing how I was full of shit for quite a long period of time. Yeah, and that made me unsafe for the people I worked with.
Right. And it's like going back to what you had said early at the beginning of the podcast of like, are you willing to expose all yourself to yourself and just see all the ways you've lied to yourself, even in this journey, even in your continuous unfolding and discovery continuously.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. I'm feeling called to shift. I just want to check in terms of time and if you're still good, it's, we're almost at an hour. So I just want to be respectful.
Well, it was booked for 90 minutes on my schedule. So I'm fine.
Okay, great.
To keep going.
Beautiful. Yeah, I would love to shift gears a little bit more in the dynamics in couples and that playfulness, I guess, of how just different dynamics that are very common that we see, you know, maybe women getting really frustrated with men getting annoyed with their women or feeling small, shrinking, women wanting to take up more space. I would love to hear more of what you see in terms of what's common in couple dynamics and I guess how to unravel that polarity. And if there is a chance to really give space for the relationship to work when they're in a certain dynamic, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
Great.
I'll do my best to communicate some things. The biggest thing that I see within couples and even just within anybody, women and women or men and women, it doesn't matter, within everyone, is the lack of understanding that the other has about the other, which stems from the lack of understanding that the individual has about themselves. So what I see, and especially when I work with couples, it's usually two people in a totally different relationship. They're in two different relationships and they're having two totally different conversations. And they also have totally different definitions of the words that are being used to define the relationship. So when she says, "I love you," and when he says, "I love you," they're both using the same words, but they both have an entirely different understanding and relationship to the word love and its definition. So I see a huge lack of clarity that creates a whole lot of misunderstanding. A lot of trauma comes up in that process because then people feel like they're not being loved, that they're being misunderstood, that they're being lied to, or they're being manipulated. Of course, in some instances, people are being lied to and people are being manipulated. But foundationally speaking, I see a huge lack of clarity. And I always will look to the man first for that. Because in my understanding and in my experience, we're here to bring clarity. Right? So if we can't bring clarity of what we're here for, the direction we want to move in, why we just said what we said. Did you really mean what you just said? Yes, I did mean what I just said. And let me explain to you for either 3 minutes what I mean by what I said, or let me explain to you for 3 hours. But I can keep going because I'm so clear on why I said what I said. It might seem a little bit anal to be that specific, but that really is what it comes down to in my experience with people, because both people want to be seen, they want to be understood, they want to feel empowered by the relationship. And oftentimes that doesn't happen because both people are having different conversations. The woman is maybe bringing bitterness in to the relationship, and she's almost vomiting her past relationships and experiences with men onto this man. And then she comes and says, "Chris, I want a powerful man. How do I help my man be more powerful?" Well, firstly, you have to be responsible for what you're carrying in your system. And you need to check the motivation of your communication to the man who you say you love. So can you be loving to the man that you say you love? And that's a really big thing for women. For men, where we really start to hurt her is due to our own lack of courage and our own lack of bravery in allowing ourselves to say what we want, who we are, to answer questions authentically. Most men are completely inauthentic in all of their conversations with women because we desperately want to make you happy. right? We don't want to say anything that means that we get given out to. So he still is carrying mother wounds into his relationship. He also starts to see emotionality as a problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because as soon as she starts to express her feeling and her truth and what's moving through her body, which she absolutely needs to do in order to feel safe and turned on and activated and to feel that meaning move through her. Mm-hmm. If she cannot do that because of his fear of that emotionality, then it starts to completely break the relationship apart. He moves into child's pose. She becomes the frustrated mother. And then she ends up having to mother him. She has to turn herself down. Now she's afraid of being too much. So she has to shut her expression off. And she starts to wither away inside. And then the relationship starts to suffer. And she asks herself, what am I doing wrong? Why won't this man love me? Or why can't this man be with me? Or why can't he love me better? Why? What am I doing that's incorrect here? So she starts to blame herself. Men tend to jump out of relationship quickly when challenge and emotionality and feelings come up, because he is tired of being overwhelmed by the feminine, because he's got no blueprint, he's got no roadmap, he's had no man sit down with him who understands and said some things to him in a way where his male ear can actually take in and understand how to engage with her, how to position himself with her. So he doesn't have to take all of that on personally himself, right? Where he can just simply be with her as long as he's resourced and give her a beautiful space to express herself and to be held in. I mean, I could go on. It all comes from the same thing generally, but it can show up in so many ways. But a lot of it is, again, women bringing a lot of that bitterness and resentment to men, and emotional entitlement, and what I call princess pose. You know, she wants, and it's all about what she requires, which hopefully, you know, she'll grow out of when she starts to look at herself. And men, you know, we bring that manipulation. We say one thing and we go and do another thing. And then you can't trust us anymore. And then you feel dropped by us. And then he says all women are crazy. And then he doesn't want to go deep. Right. So it's like, what do we do?
Yeah. It's like this whole ball of confusion all over again. So would you say that, like, men being, there's two questions that are coming up, but I guess that would be men having a distorted relationship with their own feminine. Is that why they're unable to really be present with women and their hearts and their emotions and their, I guess, feminine as well?
Well, we've never been encouraged to feel our feelings and to express our feelings. We've been told to get on with it. Mm-hmm. We've been told to be a good little boy. Oh, let the little girl have what she wants. Be a good little boy. Always let her go first. And I don't think that's fair on anybody, right? Not on him or her. There needs to be equality across the board. And even in places and spaces right now that speak of equality, if you look under it, you know, you can see that it's actually coming from a huge lack and imbalance in equality. So the man needs to realize that his emotions have just as much priority as hers. And he needs to have tools and practices and education around how to be in his body and to not reject these things that he feels. So he carries them around and takes them out on other people. He needs to know how to process through them in a healthy way. He also needs to be brought back to his power and his dangerousness, because what we do with young boys, because how society is just totally terrified of masculinity to begin with, right? We definitely don't want men walking around thinking they're powerful because of our destructive and our dysfunctional narrative of what that means. So now what we do with little boys is we feminize them, and we very quickly come in and tell them how certain parts of them are dirty or bad. So we take a sword from him, essentially. One of the things you'll notice with little boys, toddlers, before we've, you know, kind of corrupted them, is he'll always be touching his genitals. Mm-hmm. Right, that little boy will be running around the house. He'll be pulling his genitals. He'll be holding his penis. He will always go to that area. The reason being is because energetically, this is our positive pole. This is where our potency comes from. This is where our grounding comes from. The energy that's held here is where our decisiveness, our leadership, our ability to take direction in life, our penetrativeness, all of that comes from our love and our embodiment and our connectedness and our feeling in that area of the body. Right? For women, it's the opposite. Women, it's the heart, it's the breasts, it's the chest, it's the nipples, it's the throat, that whole area. But, you know, that little boy is, don't touch that, you know, don't touch that part of your body in public. And then we do a whole other range of disciplinary measures in order to separate himself from that part of him. So we don't teach him how to be in it in a healthy way. We also don't teach him how to be in it in any way. We pull him out of it. So now you've essentially put a lion out into the world and convinced him he's a cat when he really has all this energy of a lion starting to build up in him. Before you know it, he's shooting up a fucking school, right? Because you've taken his sword from him. You've taken his power from him. So now he has to act out in order to have his needs met, in order to get any type of reflection. And this is how we kill our little boys before they even enter the world. And I don't want that to be, you know, dramatic the way I say that, but I mean it, because I have to work with men every day. I have to see the reality of what men have to go through. And when a man does not feel powerful, you don't want to have to be around that man, because that man will do what he needs to do in order to get his needs met and to feel some semblance of power. He will take it out on the world. So to have safe men who are here to protect us, who are here to protect community, protect women, protect children. I don't care if it sounds misogynistic. That's what I mean, because that's the way it works. Yeah, that's what men are here for. It's a huge portion of it. And men need to feel powerful. Men need to feel dangerous. And men need to be told, hey, as a little boy, you are very powerful and you can be dangerous. So you need to choose what you use your power for. And then we can call the little boy to something, to protect something. Now he starts to have meaning. He starts to feel purpose, and he can start to move through life in a healthy way.
I think it's so important to hear it this way, because even as a woman, just hearing this, like, I'm feeling my body soften and my heart open up and have tremendous amounts of compassion towards men who may be lost, or men who are operating in a way that is immaturely aggressive towards the world, just because they don't know, and they don't even know what happened to them when they were younger. And grant, like, they have no idea. So instead of, like, as women, I think I've spoken about this so much over the last couple of years, just because that's what felt good for me. But, like, you know, there had been so much talk around, like, men being a certain way, and they're fucked up, and they're this and they're that. And it's like, as women too, there's an invitation to really, like, not only be responsible for how we show up, but to also see compassion in them and for ourselves too, but just in general, like, for all of us, instead of it's so much easier to just blame and just put the finger over there and go, it's them and not us. I think there's always an opening to, like, just my energy is my responsibility, and can I have more compassion for how each gender is experiencing their own positive pole, as you said, and the way that we've been robbed since we were little. How do you think women have been robbed when they were little?
Women have been convinced they're so fucking weak. You guys have been patted on your head as long as you've been, I mean, not in every case, but just collectively, you guys have been second-class citizens. You guys have been controlled and dominated. You've literally had the most powerful part of who you are, which is your love and your compassion and your tenderness and your ability to keep the immediacy alive in community, you guys have had that taken from you and used against you, right? You've been told that, oh, your heart is mine, you belong to me, and you can't bring your love anywhere else. No. And I don't even mean that in the form of like a monogamous relationship. I just mean that in life in general. We've also convinced women that femininity, to feel, to be intuitive, to be sensitive, that that is weak and it's too much. One of the biggest traumas that women have that I've heard from working with them is the fear of being too much, because they've been told that so many times, you know, cool, you know, you're coming on too strong. Don't be so in love right now, you know, but for a man who's intelligent understands that that's how he taps into the energy. Right? When she comes forward with all of that heart and all of that compassion, fearlessly, that blesses his life. And as men, we're crowned by women, right? As men, we get our crown, we get our kingdomship, we get initiated through reflections from women, through a woman opening so deeply with us that it nourishes every single cell in our body to the point that our consciousness, you know, functions differently. And listen, I'm a very practical person, so I realize when I say things like this, it can sound a little bit woo-woo and a little bit disconnected, not for you, but for some people who
I'm like, I'm loving this.
but I just want to say it for people who have trouble connecting with that. You don't need to understand what I mean when I say certain things, but it's real, and you'll know when it happens. You'll know when you show up as a man in a way that a woman finally has the opportunity and the safety and the trust in how you have chosen to do your life, that she can fully open and show you God through her own being and show you yourself through your own being, that will change his entire life from that moment. Mm. That will change everything. And now he is something even bigger to stand for. And women, that's the part that's been stolen from you guys. You've been told that your receptivity, your feeling, that being impacted is weak. And in order to get by, you got to compete with men, that you have to be more masculine, that you have to join men in the dysfunctional way that we've been told that we have to be. So now nobody wins.
Right. Yeah,
nobody wins. So when I see a woman choosing to show up in this world, moving through the dysfunctional space that's been hyper-masculinized or dysfunctionally feminized, but I see her moving through that space as soft as butter, right? With her arms open going, bring it on, bring it on. Because as long as I stay open, I am safe. And that's the part that women get confused around. Why does she close? Well, she closes because she thinks it keeps her safe. No, that starves you to death, right? You die of thirst. You being open is what keeps you full, is what keeps you robust, is what keeps you connected to the energy that puts you here. Being courageous and brave enough to stay in your heart when everything in you wants to close and retract and blame. That is the difference between a woman who's in her little girl and a woman who is in her grown woman. That's the difference. Yeah, no woman comes here as a goddess, despite what the movement of the goddesses says. Just like no man comes here as a king, right? You got to put your work in for that. And I want to loop right back around to the beginning of this conversation when I ask people to give up, right? And now I'm telling everyone to do their work. So which one is it? Why are you going to confuse us? So for you as a woman, your work, in my limited experience as a man who has spent the last few years working directly with women, your work is in your giving up. Your work is in the understanding that if I get out of my own way, everything that I've come here to be can start to come back through and reclaim me. But to be reclaimed, you have to be willing to feel every single thing that you've been running from, that you haven't wanted to see in yourself, all of your behaviors, all of your manipulative tendencies, all of those things will come up to the surface. But the work is about actually giving up. It is about dropping back into yourself. and realizing that everything you're looking for is sitting right there inside of you right now. And there's nothing outside of you that's going to help you through that.
Yeah, it's very easy to just get distracted and to keep taking the stimulants and to keep scrolling and to reach out to other people and not just be, like, literally just, it's a beingness. I can already kind of hear people's questions of like, how can they, I guess, support themselves to feel more? Because I think even it sounds so simple, but I feel like some people are still confused as to what that means.
Well, that's a great question, because it's really difficult to feel if you're numb.
Right.
It's very difficult to be in your body if you're caught here and you're just here. You can't get any further into your body. And this is the other part that, you know, there's different schools of thought, and some people are like, well, you don't need anyone to go deep. And a part of that statement is true. You don't need anyone once you're connected, once you're reconnected. There is great value and benefit in finding either a practice or finding a very connected and powerful body worker, or someone who just you feel understands what they do, whether it's me, whether it's somebody else, and go to them and allow them to assist you in reconnecting. That's just what I do with my work with women, especially, is they come in, everything is basically shut down and everything is blocked up, and they're almost wrestling with themselves because they want to be in their body and they want to feel, but they keep getting pushed out. So I just assist by opening up, you know, what needs to be opened up, and penetrating with a specific type of energy that brings charge. And once she's kind of reconnected and replugged in, now it's her responsibility to go out into her life and to stay connected. So if you're having trouble on your own at first, then experiment. This is where all the practices can come in handy, right? Just experiment with everything until you find something. But when you find something that works, stop experimenting. Stop going to the next thing and the next thing, and then stick with what works until it no longer works. Yeah, stick with what works, because you just need a doorway in. The work is not you getting in. The work is what happens when you're in. And life looks after the work. You just got to stay there without running for the hills.
Simple, simple people. Coming back to simplicity all over again. It's not that hard.
Well, it is very hard, I think, just because of how we've been programmed. You know, the ways that we've been lied to and tricked. It's the mind that's hard. That's the part that's hard. But seek out any assistance that you can find to help you reconnect. Once you're reconnected, then be with yourself in that and learn yourself through that.
Which is like the most beautiful, epic fucking journey we can be on. And it's a process, and there's like no goal and there's no end and there's no, it's just like a continuous experiencing, and it's amazing, you know? And you said a piece that really resonated, and I think is like, it can kind of be bypassed. That is, again, so simple, but you know, once you experience that opening and once you experience that depth of feeling and reconnecting and replugging into yourself, it's your responsibility to continue that opening into the world on your own beyond that work and that support that you received. I think, yeah, like some of the best healing I've ever received has been in with another person that has been very safe and supportive. And on the next level of that, it's like, it's my responsibility to continue that. And it's not just like, oh, it's done. And okay, see ya. Thanks. Bye. Like, no, no, it's a continuous, let me check in. How do I feel? How can I stay open? Oh shit. Why do I want to close? Oh, I'm open here. Interesting. Okay. And just lovingly navigate that and just be with it without, again, that goal of like, I need to be fixed or I need to be healed.
Yes, it's an ongoing process, and you're only what you're working with in this moment. That's all you really are. So to think that you have all of these things to fix in you that are not present with you right now, is that's a part of the self-trickery. that we get caught up in. And it's really unfair on ourselves. It's exhausting to have to put all that pressure on yourself, because where's your time to live, right? It's like, what's the purpose of life? Well, to live. The purpose of life is not to just be in detox or release 24/7, right? What happened to accumulation? What happened to restorativeness, to filling back with our juice?
It's as you're saying detox, it's like I'm just seeing again, like it's as though we're constantly just trying to get rid of our energies, like take it out, just get rid of it. And I think maybe the system has perpetuated that too, like just the world that we live in, of like not feeling as though we can hold our energies or bigger energies.
Well, we've again been given no blueprint for it, because anyone who has a lot of energy is going to be just sitting down next to that person is going to be an experience, right? So people don't really want people to have energy, because it forces them to have to feel all the parts of themselves that are uncomfortable. And people avoid feeling like it's the plague, because that's how we've been raised. So that's why another reason why it can be challenging to hold energy means that you're feeling more and more and more. Energy is just feeling, right? So the more you feel, the more energy you have access to. The more you run from feeling, the more you run from life force, period.
Yeah, I resonate with all that. Last question that's really coming up for me right now that I think a lot of, I mean, we've probably tapped into it already, but maybe something, anyways, there's a lot of women who, like we've spoken about, feel safer in their masculine, and they genuinely want to be more in their feminine. And again, it's like, they don't really know how, and they start, this is what I witness a lot, with the women that I work with anyways, is like they start doing the sensual embodiment work, but they're still performing in the sensual embodiment work. So they're still operating in their masculine, in the feminine work. And it's a continuous loop. So again, like, okay, we've tapped into like the whole feeling and really sitting with yourself, but is there anything maybe else, something else that you've witnessed, that you've seen, that could also support women to, I guess, integrate more of their own mature feminine and mature masculine in a way that feels harmonious and loving?
Find a man who respects himself and be around him. And listen, I never want to make it that you need something else in order to open.
Totally agree. But,
you know, everything you said could be things I would share with women. So dance more, do embodiment practices, do self-pleasure, do body massage. But she can approach that in a masculine way, right? I remember I once had a woman come to me for a session, and she said, okay, Chris, I'm ready. Let's do surrender. you know, it's that's the paradox, right? So when you're so far in a certain way of living, this word surrender, you might think you know what you mean, but your body has no memory of what it means. That's why these practices, that's why you see many women do these practices and it does very little for them, right? Because they're still doing it from the place that they're doing the rest of their life. So the reason I said, go find a man who understands himself and just be around him for a moment, that's because polarity is the most powerful access point that we have in order for her to be zapped electrically, to be almost just melted or boiled back into her feminine energy, right? Because if a woman is around a man who's really present with himself and understands himself, just being in his vicinity, her brain is going to start turning off and her body's going to start turning on. She's going to go, oh, what's happening to me? I'm feeling all this stuff. I don't know what's happening. And she won't be able to think properly, and she won't know where the keys are. And she's like, I feel drunk. I feel what's happening. And obviously, again, because I'm hearing people's, but a woman should always be able to think clearly, because that's not safe. I'm speaking about, because that won't happen if a woman is around a man who doesn't have integrity, right? So what I'm saying is, if you're around a man who understands how to stay connected with himself and how to be around you. That is the gift of polarity.
Mm-hmm.
So what I say to women is stop waiting for a man to find you, right? It's mm-hmm. okay to be assertive, because, you know, people attach assertiveness to masculinity. So if you're out in your life and you see a man across the room and you're like, your legs are, you know, shaking and your body temperature is going up and you're like, oh my God, that man, I don't know what's happening, but I'm feeling him. Go mm-hmm. over to him, right? Put your pride mm-hmm. to the side and go over to him and show him your heart and be vulnerable mm-hmm. and be willing to put yourself out there. Because mm-hmm. as men, if we have to do that, right? If we're being called to do that, well, we want equality here, right? So you also have to do that. For me as a man, I need to see that woman. For me to trust her, I need to understand that she's always going to go first in love. She's going to go first mm-hmm. with her heart, for mm-hmm. herself, always. And it's such a beautiful thing to receive. If she's willing mm-hmm. to put herself out there and say, you know, I just saw you and I have been really impacted by you and I just wanted to say hello to you. And if you'd like to speak with me, then I'll be over there. And then you can scurry back mm-hmm. to because that's also beautifully feminine, right?
Right. And playful.
And playful. Mm-hmm. And the man is like, oh, wow, that felt beautiful to receive that, because mm-hmm. as men, we're not used to actually receiving mature love from a woman,
mm-hmm.
right? We're not used to seeing availability, energetic availability, because women mm-hmm. have been told, you're not safe, shut down. So now there's no more availability, meaning we're not getting reflections, and then the loop mm. continues. So yeah. My answer to your question, if all the practices that she does are not working for her, or she mm-hmm. feels that there's a huge part that she's not able to access, or that she knows there's something more that's there,
mm-hmm.
go be around a man who's allowing himself to be here as a man, makes no apology mm-hmm. for it, and mm-hmm. who has integrity and who's healthy. Mm-hmm. in himself, right? He's not manipulative or mm-hmm. Narcissistic and all these other tendencies that women can experience. For her mm-hmm. to know that a man is safe, she has to be in her body. So for the women, please stop choosing men with your head. Stop choosing men just with your eyes. Stop choosing men with your checklist. Right. Instead, let your body choose the man for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be safer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it goes against everything we've been told.
As does probably the majority of what we've been speaking about today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm already hearing women ask or say, well, where do you find men like that? Because I can't find them. There's no men like that where I live. Which is another story, but
I hear that, and there's definitely a part of that that I accept, because there are a lot of men who are not doing their work. But also, I feel that it's the veil that she's choosing to look through, the mm-hmm. ways that she has been potentially wounded and scarred, and that checklist that she's looking through, right?
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful and the powerful thing that exists, or the ability, the transformative ability that women carry, is a woman has the ability to look upon something, to find the beauty in the thing that she's looking upon, to locate the strength of what she's looking at in a way that the strength and the beauty starts to come up to the surface
mm-hmm.
in the person that she's looking at. Mm-hmm. Men have forgotten that they're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Men have forgotten that they have purpose. When a woman looks around in the world and sees a man and it's like, oh, okay, I see he's a little bit, you know, he doesn't see himself right now, but let me try mm-hmm. to see and feel his power. Let me mm-hmm. try to see and feel his purpose and his meaning, even if he doesn't. And if she can just stay with that feeling in herself when she's around him and allow her body to respond to that, it will start to open up in him. It will remind mm-hmm. him that, oh shit, I'm powerful, right? I mm-hmm. can have purpose, I can have meaning. And I say the mm-hmm. same thing to men. Most women are so exhausted because she's holding everything. so fucking exhausted and fatigued.
And it's like,
yeah, all up in the shoulders, all up in the heart, in the back of the neck, in the base of the skull, right through into the wound, the serve, just everything has just constricted because of the fatigue and the pressure of holding, and she's just exhausted and done with it. What I share with men is, it is our responsibility, in my opinion, it is our responsibility that as men, if we come across a woman or someone who we see is totally withered and in pain because of everything that she has had to hold on to, and she's had nobody's arms, nobody's presence, nobody's space, just for a moment to be able to let it go in, that a part of our responsibility for community is to show up, is to go over, and is to offer ourselves up as an option and say, hey, I see your pain. I see everything you're carrying. And if it's something you're comfortable with, I'd love to just hold you for a moment. And if you would allow yourself just to be held without trying to hold me back, right? Because that's what happens if a man hugs a woman, the woman just hugs right back. I almost have to remind women that, no, just let yourself be held, right? Remember what it feels like just to be held. That is so simple. It takes almost nothing from a man to do that, just to offer a few moments, just to hold her. He just stays present, but it brings so much healing and transformation. And what's the word I'm looking for? Rejuvenation to a woman's soul, to a woman's heart, to a woman's body. And if a man hears me say this and wants to start to do this to anyone, and I mean your sister, your mother, anyone, you know, it doesn't just have to be a woman that you're sexually interested in, which is the point that I wanted to make, is if you're looking as a man to show up and offer this, please keep it clean. Please don't show up and say, let me hold you. It's like, oh, now I like her and I want more. It's okay that you respond. It's okay that she arouses you. It's okay that you are enjoying the energy, but please keep it clean. Yeah, please keep it clean, because one of the traumas that women carry is that they are in need in a moment and they allow a man in who says, I can come in and support you. And as she is vulnerable, he then goes on and takes advantage of that situation. And then before you know it, she, you know, he's in a totally different energy. And she's paralyzed. I know she's stuck in it, right? So we have that responsibility as men. It's, we can stay in our power. We can stay feeling our power, all of it. But it doesn't mean we have to do anything with it other than just allow ourselves to hold her in it. And I believe that's the maturation process for a man. Can he sit in his own energy, even if it's desire, even if it's arousal, and just stay sitting in it, not having to do something with it? Because if a man truly understands that, if a woman is open to him intimately, or if a woman arrives to a point of wanting to go deeper with him physically and intimately, it will be far more supportive and inspiring for her to be able to have the freedom and the safety to move towards him rather than him trying to chase her. Yeah. So I hope I'm saying that clearly enough, that it's not misconstrued. But I feel that's a very important part of a man putting himself in the position of, hey, can I hold you for a moment? It's got to be clean. And not just a tool to try to have sex.
Super powerful, very clear, and yes, it's very clean. And I think it'll be well received for sure, 100%. And thank you for sharing that so clearly. It's I think it's very important to receive this type of reflection beyond just the, be a man, do the things, do all the things, you know. This is like also a part of like their own vulnerability of just like, actually, I'm just going to hold and like not take anything personally and just be there. you like some the tree
men will
trunk.
Be totally, some men will be totally overwhelmed by that. Right? Yeah. I've seen men, because when I've done workshops and retreats, I will do hugging classes or literally like a hugging workshop where the people who are comfortable and are open to connecting with other people just in a simple mm-hmm. hug. And mm-hmm. so much happens in a hug when wow. the man allows himself to stay present and to stay sensitive to her. And when the mm-hmm. woman allows herself to be held by him,
because mm-hmm.
that's a mm-hmm. different experience to actually just allowing yourself to be totally held. And, you know, some men will just burst into tears because he's feeling his own impact for the first time based on how the woman is starting to open in his arms. And he never knew that that was even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it opens his heart, right? Because you guys are here to teach us love. How the hell are we supposed to be loving if we're not getting that reflection?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say to women and to men, you know, go first in love. Stop waiting for other mm-hmm. people around you to go first. It's, well, I need to wait for him to text me back first. It's like, okay, if you want to stay 12 for the rest sure. of your life, stay 12.
Right? Yeah.
But if you
yeah.
want to grow up, then you got to go first in love. You got to be willing to be vulnerable and to realize that that's the superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a juicy conversation. I'm definitely going to re-listen to this myself so I can like take out all the little nuggets for sure.
Well, thank you so much for facilitating it.
Yeah, of course. It was such a pleasure, such an honor, and just actually it felt really playful and light and just yummy. So thank you for that. And is there anything else that you would like to maybe speak of, or just kind of drop a little quote or whatever is like on your heart recently that you think people could benefit hearing from?
There's an awful lot shifting right now, just in life and on the planet. Again, I don't want to mm-hmm. get too woo-woo with what I'm going to mm-hmm. say, but the electrical frequency of the earth that we live on is drastically changing. It's up and down every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing this in older generations, right? Because now the older generations, people who, you know, our parents, grandparents, people who have not really been available emotionally, you know, the way that they were raised, their stuff mm-hmm. is starting to come up also. So there's a lot of stuff that's being purged. And more than ever right now, people need to realize that some days they're not going to be able to do life the way that they think that they should do life, that they're mm-hmm. going to feel overwhelmed. They're going to feel like shit is just too much right now. And mm-hmm. that is okay. That it's mm-hmm. okay in this moment to be totally overwhelmed by life, to feel lost, to feel confused. We're going through a really deep shift. And mm-hmm. this is the time where, you know, this is self-love 101, where we're being forced to figure out how to be more compassionate with ourselves, how to be more gentle with ourselves, how to be more supportive with and mm-hmm. for ourselves. So please look after yourself right now. If you feel exhausted, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just feeling everything else that's happening around you. Stop mm-hmm. trying to fix your exhaustion and just sit down, lay down, right? Rest. Start to listen mm-hmm. to your body. And when the time is ready for you to get up and do stuff, then you'll get up and do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also understand that what I just said is a privileged thing to be able to say, that not everybody can just sit down and feel that. Some people, there's war happening, and you know, there's people who are having poverty strike them out of nowhere, and people are losing their jobs and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I get that there's both sides to this. Wherever you're at, I don't care how intense it is, we still always have the opportunity for compassion, for self-love, to figure out, what do I need right now to be cared for? What do the people around me right now need to be cared for? and how much availability do I have to look out for others and to be there for others. And if we can move in that way, I feel we'll be a lot less hard on ourselves. We'll be a lot less hard on other people. And we'll understand that we're all just humans here trying to figure stuff out day by day, right? We really know very little of anything for the most part. And we're all just kind of making it up as we go along. So the message is just to stay compassionate with the overwhelm that may be coming up currently.
Beautiful. Simple, beautiful. I think I'm just going to make the podcast title Simple and Beautiful. Coming back to
great,
simplicity.
I love it. I love it.
Chris, thank you so much for your time, your presence, your energy, your work, your compassion, your simplicity, and who you are in the world every single day. Appreciate
you. Thank you. Thank you for having me on and facilitating this beautiful conversation and just having a space for all of this energy and communication to happen. And also just thank you to life for being the one doing all the talking.
Yeah, for real. Getting ourselves out of the way. And where can people find you? Just lastly.
Well, I hope nowhere. that's my work. I don't know. I just want to live in a cave.
The best answer I've ever gotten on this podcast. Nowhere.
That's my battle with life, right? Life wants me to be out here doing this work and everything keeps getting bigger. And I'm like, I don't want to, I just want to be in a cave. Stop recognizing me. But if people do feel like there's something of value there, they can find me on the website. It's awakenedintent.com. And I think Instagram is probably the most active place where stuff goes up, I think once or twice a week. It's being posted on, and that's Chris Bale Awakened, I think. Maybe you can clarify that, but
yes, I'm pretty sure it is.
Well,
I think
people can just Google my name and you'll either find me or Batman. So
Batman,
Christian Bale, one or the other.
Oh, right, that guy. Well, 50 Shades of Grey is not, I thought it was like, I had mentioned your name one time and somebody was like, is that the 50 Shades of Grey dude? I was like, no, but yes, but no.
I don't think Christian Bale is in 50 Shades of Grey. I think the person was confused. Or maybe
probably.
Yeah. But anyway, just Google Chris Bale and you'll find either him or me.
Okay, great. Yeah. Perfect. But I'll post everything in the show notes so it'll be easy for people.
Yes, I'm like the worst marketer.
That's why you have people working for you. It's great. Teamwork. Yes. Thank you. And we'll chat soon.
All right.
Well, my loves, I hope that you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. It was a blast. It was really heart-opening. It was really just lovely. And so if you're looking to connect deeper with Chris's work, you can go and find him on Instagram at Chris Bale Awakened. You can also check out his website. All of his information is in the show notes. So just scroll down wherever you're listening to this podcast and check out all the links. He's always got like masterclasses going on, different workshops online and live and all over the world. So pretty incredible work. I would definitely get your hands on that. And if you are looking by any means to receive more support in your own journey, I have a few things that you can do to really support yourself in my own bank of work. And for May, we got a few specials going on. So either you can purchase the TCP 2.0 from last year at 44% off. You can also receive the Surrender Masterclass at 44% off with the code May Love Bomb. Again, you can just scroll down to the notes and from this podcast and check out the links there. You can click on it. They're just different prices and different forms of teaching and for whatever you need specifically. And so you can check that out. And I also have spots open for one-on-one mentorship. This is a very individualized experience. So it really depends where you're at, where you are now, where you want to go, and how I can support you and if we're a right fit. So I definitely suggest to reach out to me on Instagram. Instagram. Let's have a conversation about it. Let's get on a call and figure this out together. I absolutely love to work with women recently who are not only upgrading their businesses and their wealth and who they are as a woman in the world, but also really supporting their bodies and their experiences on the daily to really live a life that is fulfilling, that is fluid, that is harmonious, that is amplified, expansive, and yeah, how they can support themselves in their own healing journeys. There are so many layers to this, but everything is interconnected and everything affects everything. So we never just look at one thing. We are diving into all aspects of yourself. It is definitely a massive upgrade. So if you're looking for that, reach out, let's chat, and let's figure this out together. And on another note, we got some more epic episodes coming soon. We got a few things coming at the end of the month that are really exciting, some events happening. I just love this life so much, and I love this work so much, and I love you guys so much. So enjoy the rest of your day, your evening, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. I love you. I see you. I hear you. And I'll see you guys in the next episode.